God's word for us this morning is found at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. And as we meditate on the scripture, I invite your hearts and minds and spirits to be open to the words that are found there. And this is what is written in that text. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we meditate upon this text, I'd like us to begin to think about the perfect gift from God. The perfect gift from God. Now, I know most of us love gifts. There are some of us who love to give gifts, but I would say that for the most part, we all love to receive gifts. And there's nothing like receiving that perfect gift that fits exactly what our need is. There's nothing like that gift to us that says the one who gave it knew exactly what we wanted. And there's nothing like that gift that we receive that we don't have to look at and wonder, now, what am I supposed to do with that? There's nothing like receiving a gift that is personal, one that was given to us, especially with us in mind. We love those kinds of gifts. And there's only one person who can give the perfect gift every single time. And that person is God. Ironically, God has given each of us a gift, a perfect gift from God that's especially and uniquely designed for us. But in a twist, it's not so much a gift for us as it is a gift to us. It's a gift that God has given us with the intention that we give that gift away. Have you ever known someone who moved through life acting and believing that they were God's gift to the world? And you know what I mean, brothers and sisters. They had this attitude that they were doing you a favor if by some chance they graced you with their presence or conversation. They acted as if they were somehow better than everyone else, or maybe even that the world owed them something rather than them owing the world anything. Now, whenever I've encountered someone like that, I've always been left with the idea that they felt they didn't need anyone but themselves, that anyone and everyone else was somehow beholden to them. Well, that's the kind of attitude that develops when someone believes that they have something that the world needs and that the world can't make it without them. It's a kind of attitude that leads them to feel independent and self-sufficient, reducing everything and everyone else around them in dignity and importance. Well, that's the issue that was going on in Corinth. There were those who had received gifts from God, but because of the nature of their gift, they felt that their gift placed them above others in their importance to the church and to the community. It was especially true around those who had received that gift from God that allowed them to speak in tongues. They felt that because they could somehow speak utterances that we outside of everyone's language capability, that they were a little higher up in importance in the community. So Paul wrote this portion of the letter to put to bed any idea that a person was important because of the gift they had received from God. He thought it was important for everyone in Corinth to understand that God's gifts were not given by importance, but by God's personal decision of what was needed for the benefit of the community. Paul wanted them to know that no gift was truly more important than any other because they all came from the same God, with the same Spirit who allotted to each one as God saw fit. And yet that gift, even though everyone had received it and none was more important than the other, that gift was given to each member in the community, not for the individual's benefit and bragging rights, but for the benefit of everyone within the community and ultimately the world. It's an odd thing that we should still be trying to make sense of this spiritual gifts issue almost 2,000 years plus later. We're still trying to discern what those spiritual gifts are and how important they are to us. 2,000 years later, and we're still trying to discern how God might use us to transform the world and make disciples of Jesus Christ. And to be honest, it's not that difficult to figure out. You see, brothers and sisters, whatever gift we have is a gift and an instrument that comes from God. And I say whatever because not everyone has received the same gift. But the gift, whatever it is, has come from God. The problem has always been trying to learn what that gift is. Whether we don't know because we're afraid to know or afraid that we don't have one is irrelevant. There are all kinds of tools designed to help us to better understand our spiritual gifts and the strengths we have been gifted to use those gifts. There are online tools and printed books and classes and workshops and other ways to find out what our spiritual gifts from God are. And when we find out, we'll find out that our gifts are different and varied. We'll find out that some are more developed than others. We'll find that some people are actually trying to excel at developing their gifts so that they may be a benefit to the life of the church and the community. We might even find that our gift has been lying dormant and that it is the one gift that we most need at this time. But whatever gift we have is an instrument that comes from God. And each gift we receive from God is given to us at the Spirit's discretion. In other words, we only get as much of God's gift as the Spirit determines is necessary for the work we have to do. There is no such thing as overkill with God's gifts to us. We'll never get more than we need and never get more than God wants us to have. It is a highly integrated yet individual gift that invites and even encourages us to work together. Several years ago, the University of California at Berkeley took on what was to be an impossible assignment. It agreed to coordinate an international effort to locate extraterrestrial life. Now, to say that the project was overwhelming is really a miscalculation. We live in a large galaxy, and the multi-million dollar radio telescopes looking at it pull in a lot of information. In fact, so much information is collected and forwarded to Berkeley that no computer on earth is powerful enough to process it all. And so to accomplish this impossible task, Berkeley asked home computer users around the world to contact them over the internet and download a special program that they had labeled SETI Home. And this software makes a computer over the internet to a computer in California and downloads a work unit, that is a set of measurements from a particular part of the sky. And the work unit is not large, but it takes the computer a little while to crunch those numbers. Now, when the work is done, the computer makes another internet call to Berkeley and then uploads its results and downloads a new work unit. What today's largest supercomputer could never do alone, over a million ordinary home computers do easily. And sometimes the best way to accomplish the impossible is to harness the help of the ordinary. That's how God intends for the church to work. God didn't intend any one person to have all of the gifts or to do all of the work. No one can do it alone. But if we all do what we can, if we take the gifts that God has given us and use them in proportion to the amount we have them, then suddenly the unattainable becomes attainable. The church can be all that God has intended the church to be. I believe that's why Paul told them the same way that Paul tells us. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. I believe that God put in a safeguard to prevent any of us from becoming arrogant or prideful about the gift we've received from God. None of us alone can make the church of Christ work. The responsibility doesn't fall on any one of us individually. The responsibility for life and movement in the church falls upon God. But God is sharing the work with us by giving us gifts of the Spirit so that everyone can be included, so that we might understand that what we do, the gifts we give to one another, those are the gifts that working together help to move the church and the kingdom of God forward. It's God's intention for us to work together for the benefit of everyone, rather than to become individually responsible for everything. In the year 2000, which is almost a quarter of a century ago, a woman named Jenny Thompson was the most decorated American woman when it came to Olympic competition. Her 10 Olympic medals in swimming in the previous three Olympics also meant that she had won more medals in swimming than any other Olympic athlete of any nation. And 8 of those 10 medals were gold. However, she didn't win any of the gold medals in individual events. Rather, she won them in a team event with 3 other swimmers. And as a result of that, some people have questioned whether Jenny's swimming accomplishments ought to rank her with great Olympic champions. And she asked the question herself. And at that time, she was only 27 years old from New Hampshire. But she said, it's got to be a very different experience and to win an individual gold versus a team gold. And ice skating champion Bonnie Blair had told Jenny, or said about Jenny, I wish she could feel what it's like for an individual gold, to witness it by herself and not just as a part of a team. I find Jenny's accomplishments in the ego-driven U.S. culture refreshing. With ball players moving from team to team and demonstrating little team loyalty, Jenny is a marvelous example of a person whose genuine success came in the context of team play. This is how God intended that the church should work as well. Our true stardom occurs when we participate as a part of a winning team. On God's team, there's no room for superstars or mega celebrities who do it all on their own. God's intention is for us to work together, sharing those gifts of the Spirit with each other so that the entire community of faith and the world in general can benefit from the synchronized working of God's gifts together. Even though each gift is different, even though each gift is proportionally given to us by God, God's recipe for our success is that each of us makes a viable contribution of God's gift to the whole body of Christ, and that is God's design. But to fulfill God's design the way God intends for it to be fulfilled means that we have to come to a different way of thinking. It means that we have to look at ourselves and God's gift to us in a new way. It means that we have to see each other and realize that we are a gift from God to each other. It means that we not only have God's gift inside of us, but because of that, we are God's gift to each other and to the church and to the community and to the world. We have and are what God wants the world to experience because of Jesus Christ, a living organism and organization committed to show God's love and presence in the world so that the world will know that being reconciled to each other, loving each other, embracing each other, supporting each other to benefit each other is the only way to live in true harmony and community with each other. We do it by affirming and celebrating God's gift to us and in us, by sharing our gift from God with each other, not for our glory, but for and to the glory of God. We have this gift from God so that God may be glorified in all the earth, but that's difficult to do when we can't accept God's gift in us, let alone accept that we've all received a gift from God for the benefit of the common good. You see, brothers and sisters, gift giving is a special art. I mean, it's one thing to give a gift with love, and we're quickly approaching that season where the giving of gifts will flourish. But it takes a certain wisdom to know exactly what gift to give to a person. And despite the fact that Jesus says it's better to give than to receive, we can't deny that God is the greatest giver of gifts we've ever known. He's given us the gift of salvation through his Son, Jesus the Christ. God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide us until Christ's return. But more importantly, God has given us a special gift, a spiritual gift that is the perfect gift for each of us individually, designed especially for us, to be used uniquely by us to the benefit of all of us. In short, we have received from God the perfect gift giver, the perfect gift for us to be used for the benefit of the whole world. So we have a perfect gift from God. And what makes it perfect is that it's a gift we receive that makes us a gift from God to each other. So we are God's perfect gift from God to each other. We are a perfect gift from God for each other, for the church and for the world. We have been given a perfect gift from God, not to be understood and practiced as if we are God's gift to the world, but to be utilized and function as a perfect gift from God for the world, a perfect gift that opens up the love of God that the world may see and know the reconciling love of Jesus Christ. We're God's perfect gift for the world, that the world may see the power of God at work when we use God's gifts in ways that allow us to work together as a community. It's a perfect gift given to us so that everyone is affirmed as important in the eyes of God. It's a perfect gift given to us so that we might become more aware of God's presence among us. It's a perfect gift given to us so that the world will benefit from God's Spirit and grow in love and kindness toward each other. So we should learn about God's perfect gift to us, grow in our use of God's perfect gift to us, and encourage and give thanks for God's perfect gift in us, so that we might move God's kingdom closer to being a present reality on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.